This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Afton's Larry Stopper has worked in wood for a long time, creating his own businesses when no existing businesses were a good fit. Larry started messing around with wood when he was 22 years old and decided to make cabinets for a living.
I had a hammer. I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening. All over this land.
I discovered that in cabinet making, you need to be both good and fast. If you're good but slow, you make beautiful things for $5 an hour. If you're fast but not good, you make ugly things for $5.
Which were you?
I was neither good nor fast. So it wasn't really – I really wanted to challenge the accepted notion for my life that I could not work with my hands. So I tried
now, why was that the accepted notion for your life?
I took one of those achievement tests in high school, I think spatial relations and something else. And basically the guidance counselor brought me in after taking those various tests and said, you shouldn't work with your hands. And I thought, I'm too young for you to tell me what I can't do yet. I'll figure that one out.
Do you have a rebellious streak? Maybe.
So I went to college for a while, didn't quite finish, and then went off and started trying to learn to be a cabinet maker. And I learned many things. I'm not bad at it when I make something for myself. But
I've seen your office.
Oh, thanks. But I've learned that professional woodworking is a skill set that I didn't really have. So at the time, Hartwood Design, which is a company I helped start, a cabinet manufacturer down in Nelson County, we were looking at creating a closer source for kiln-dried lumber than where we had been purchasing it from, which was Pennsylvania. And since we live in the woods of Nelson County, surrounded by national forests, and George Washington National Forest and such, we were sure that we could dry and provide ourselves with a better source, less expensive source of lumber.
Buy local.
Local, absolutely. It was, what is that now, 35 years ago, 1978 or so, we decided we wanted to try that. I guess that's 34 years. I'll do the math.
Impressed.
And I decided that I would be the one to learn about lumber, since it was obvious with the folks that I was working with that I was the least competent of the cabinet makers and the most competent at sales.
Did you like business?
Yeah, I'm addicted to business. That's
And how do you define business?
Well, that's an interesting thing. How would I define business?
A lot of people just associate it with the bottom line, but I expect there's something else going on.
Well, you know, business is an activity. For those of us that like to start businesses, that looked at the thought of going and getting a job and thought, a job? That's not going to work for me. My favorite phrase on that is, I work very well with people. I don't work well for people. So in equal partnership relations, which I've had in a number of the different businesses that I've started, I work really well with people. Common goals, common directions, I'm all for it, and I'm good at it. And the parts of business that I'm most good at are sales and management, it turns out. You know, business is a much broader definition than just making money. Business involves dramatic levels of personal relations. In fact, business is all personal relations. Business is all about trust. Life is all about trust. If you aren't working with people that you can trust, every transaction is fraught with tension and just a much higher level of concern than it needs to have. Opened the first lumber dry kiln for Hartwood Design back in 1980. We were purchasing lumber from local sawmills in North Garden and Amherst and Nelson County and started drying that lumber ourselves. And it quickly turned out that we were drying and accumulating more lumber than we were using. A big kitchen just does not consume as much solid wood as one would think.
Let me digress for a minute. How do you dry wood?
In a lumber kiln. You have to build a building. You stack it using, layer it using stickers. You have to line them all upright so that the boards don't bend and fold and mutilate. Then you run lots and lots of fans through it. We built solar heated kilns, which dried the wood much more slowly, but very gently. And it produced a beautiful product.
Did you teach yourself all about this?
I taught myself most of it. I went down to Virginia Tech and took some seminars. I would go over to Crozet, where the Bruce Barnes Lumber Company was located, and they had very large commercial kilns, and I would just quietly ingratiate myself with people who would explain to me how you properly dried lumber. There was a professor down at Virginia Tech called Gene Weingarten, and he helped us with the design of our lumber kiln. And we built it to his design, and lo and behold, the lumber dried. It was one of those things of, wow, it did it. We started accumulating major quantities of lumber. And so I developed a lumber sales business for Hartwood Design, which proved to be fairly successful and occupied me through all of my 30s.
Okay, you're going to sell the wood pile. And, I mean, you jump in your truck and go out and say, hey, you want to buy some lumber?
Well, in the end, sales is what I do best. So I started by going around and introducing myself to everybody that I could find in the phone books in Waynesboro and Charlottesville and down to Amherst and out to Stanton. And I got our names, of course, in all the phone books and just generally did guerrilla marketing.
All went well business-wise until the market shifted, and it didn't go well anymore.
We're moving on. We're rolling on. You had the laugh on me, so I'm city free and I'm moving on.
So Larry went on to something else, and then something else again that was international in scope. Today, after decades of doing this and that in the world of lumber, Larry and his partners in Bigwood and its partner, Hartwood International, salvage antique lumber from demolished industrial buildings.
Somebody calls you and says, I have an old woolen mill that's coming down. Are you interested?
Yeah, we send out monthly broadcast faxes and emails to demolition companies from one end of the country to the other, reminding them that we're here and we buy antique salvage lumber. It's to their benefit to contact us.
Because what defines antique lumber? Is there a cutoff the way, you know?
Yeah, there is. Well, it's ill-defined in that sense. The cutoff is largely based on market demand and the quality of the wood itself. Yeah. Once you get into the 1930s, generally, the wood that we used in building looks generally like what we use today. 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, they are not an inch and a half by 3.5. Back then, they're 1¾ by 3¾. There's no great interest in that. My regular line for that with the demolition contractor is if you can buy it at Home Depot, you can't recycle it. So the cutoff is largely the late 1920s. The only variation on that is military buildings built during World War II. During World War II and the run-up to World War II, all the steel in the country went to armaments. You couldn't buy a steel I-beam to put a building up. So the government, building as fast as they could to store war materials and to warehouse them at appropriate ports for shipment over to Europe or Asia, built very, very big warehouse buildings with the highest quality Douglas fir that was available. Interestingly enough, it was generally harvested by African Americans. They had volunteered for service, and since they weren't considered, at least in the early part of the war, qualified as soldiers, they went out and got stuck being loggers.
Out in the West.
Out in the West, and the loggers all got recruited into the Army. But the late 1930s, 1940s buildings built by the military slash government are often, if not exclusively, built with beautiful quality Douglas fir. Those we still salvage, but otherwise, generally the buildings that we work on are from about 1880 to 1925.
Sort of in late industrial
revolution? Well, it's really the big industrial push.
Okay.
It's the part of the big East Coast largely, but, you know, some in the South, all the textile mills in the South are built around this same time period, or many of them, not all of anything. But it's through the big waves of immigration and the big waves of industrialization in the United States. Those coincide, the big waves of immigration and the big waves of industrialization, because you needed workers. And this is all post-Civil War. The South is devastated through Reconstruction, and it ramps up one of the few things that it can truly export, which is lumber. So the southern longleaf yellow pine, now known as heart pine, is exported from the South to the North by the shipload. Huge pieces. I've seen pieces 45 feet long.
Wow.
12 inches, 14 inches in girth, 16 inches in width. Those aren't unfamiliar sizes at all. And they are straight as an arrow and not entirely clear, but there are very few knots in them.
Before I interrupted you to ask about what's an antique, you were sending out a broadcast email to salvage people.
Yes. And we, that's a great memory to bring it back. We contact the demolition slash salvage companies regularly to alert them that when they have a wood building, they should call us, because they don't see a building constructed of timbers, the likes of what we try to salvage. They may not see it for a few years. We're easily forgotten over those periods of time. And so we constantly remind them. And word circulates, again, because it's to the contractor's advantage. When a demolition contractor walks into an old factory building constructed with timbers, he knows that he has dollar value there, but he doesn't know what that dollar value is, because he doesn't see it very often.
It's not his business.
It's not his business to know that automatically. They contact us, and we go and we look, and we'll give them an approximation of the value based on what it looks like to us. We'll sample the wood, so we know what species we're looking at.
Now, when you say we, are you going on this?
Me or my partners. Yes.
So you are going
I travel
out.
All the time. Big Wood has projects right now in Philadelphia, Keensburg, New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey, and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
So you are working the phones, setting up the deals, but you're also out there.
Well, I work the phones, and I travel a lot to do the buying. I do most of the sales work, and when they rope me into it, I run the chainsaws and demo saws and other equipment that we need to run on site.
But it's like you in the cabinet shop.
Yeah,
you're the last person.
Mostly because it's young man's work.
Yeah.
Now, we can all go out there and cut firewood. I still love cutting my own firewood for my home, but it's very heavy work sometimes, very heavy. I'm good at the forklift driving. I can load a flatbed truck in no time flat. But for those of you out there who run a skid steer, when people put me on it, all they do is laugh.
So bring on your wrecking ball. Bring on your wrecking ball. Bring on your wrecking ball. Come on and take your best shot. Let me see what you've got. Bring on your wrecking ball.
Going back to high school and this guidance counselor who told you should never work with your hands, did they tell you what you should do?
Everybody wanted me to be a lawyer. When I was growing up, everybody wanted me to be a lawyer.
And why was that?
Because the skill that I actually possess and have come to be comfortable with is speaking. And that's why I was a WMRA Acoustic Cafe a DJ for a few years. I was a docent over at Monticello for the better part of a year. I was a docent at a botanical gardens for a few months, just for the fun of being out there and using my speaking skills for something other than closing a deal. I'm good at the personal relations, so I'm good at building relations with the demolition contractors, with my customers out there, and that's where my skill level is. I won't say anybody can run a chainsaw. You have to learn how to run these things. You have to learn how to run a demolition saw. You have to learn what to cut, what not to cut, how to handle these things. But it's not rocket science. Neither is sales or purchasing. But it's what I do better. There are other people in this world, and that's why there's such a thing as jobs. We hire people to do that work, and my back holds up a whole lot better. It's young man's work.
Take a load off, Benny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Benny.
I'll find a link to Larry Stopper's website, Bigwood, on the Spark page at WMRA.org. The Spark is a joint production of the WMRA Land Community and the staff of WMRA Public Radio. The Spark's theme music is supplied by the Avant Gardeners of Albemarle County. Terry Ward is our web wrangler. Thanks to Bob, Matt, and Terry for their help, and special thanks to Bob Satterway for suggesting Rick Soash and for talking with him. Okay, your turn. Who do you know who's sparkable? Please send me your suggestions through the Spark page at WMRA.org. I'm Martha Whitworth. It's been a great pleasure to be with you.